The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Living my dream, literally, touring around the world, skateboarding, surfing, the most exclusive spots in Tabarua, Fiji. I OD'd, and my parents heard that I did because one of the pro skateboarders called them and said, "We don't think Ryan's going to make it out alive."
Professional skateboard team manager Ryan Reese explains the event that radically changed his life.
He was washing me, and he was transforming me.
Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson, and I'm excited about our guest today yes. for a few reasons. But one of them is I'm thinking of some of you who have kids who grew up in the church and then they just seemed to disappear. And you're thinking, did my prayers matter? Did the word of God that went into their lives matter? And I think you're going to find today's show encouraging. So please, would you help Randy and I welcome Ryan Reese? We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, man.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys are awesome.
So I'm glad you started out that way because it really is important for people to know that prayer matters. And I want you to hear a little bit. Ryan, would you just take us back to that point where I know your dad, who was a pastor, had to have been praying really, probably losing sleep, frankly, over you.
Yeah, I think this story is a story of redemption and what God can, not only the fact that when he saves you and cleans you up, but what he does after, which is so amazing and can relate to any age group. You know, I did grow up in Los Angeles. I was a son of a pastor of a mega church, and I just wanted nothing to do with God or religion or anything. And I just walked away from God at a very young age. My brothers were part of the Hollywood scene, playing the punk rock bands and stuff like that. And I just got influenced by the things of the world, which led to sex, pornography, smoking, drinking, drugs, and all that. After getting kicked out of school, I got introduced to the rave scene, which was the underground scene for my generation. It was punk rock for my brothers. The rave scene, electronic music, was for mine. That led to me working in the music industry, started doing shows myself, and then that led me to managing a professional skateboard team. But during that time, I was really empty, and I was just trying to fill myself with the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the things from Satan, not from the Father God. And that literally, after 9 years of 10 years of managing a professional skateboard team, doing music festivals and everything, living my dream, literally, touring around the world, skateboarding, surfing, the most exclusive spots in Tabarua, Fiji, I just found myself like almost like that TV show, The Walking Dead. You know, I was just a dead man walking, just dead and just going through routine every day, doing the same thing, miserable. And I found God in a hotel room in Panama City of 9 days of cocaine, Xanax, and alcohol. I OD'd, and my parents heard that I did because one of the pro skateboarders called them and said, "We don't think Ryan's going to make it out alive." And what happened is they prayed. Like you were saying before, my parents were praying, and there's power in prayer. And they prayed, and I came out of it, and that's when I realized I needed to change my whole life. And I was at the peak of my career at that time, and I just remember being in my hotel room. And the hardest thing for me to say was that I had a problem with drinking and drugs. It's that confession.
Yeah.
It's that repentance. And it was like it couldn't come out of my mouth, but I did. And I said, "God, I have a problem." Because I knew if I said I had a problem, then I would have to change it. That's part of confession. So I just said, "Jesus, prove that you're real to me and come into my life." And I thought that Jesus was going to show up in my hotel room with rainbows and lightning bolts and angels and be like, "My son, Ryan, I've been waiting."
Too many drugs, Ryan. Too many drugs.
I know. That's what happens when you take too much LSD. And I did a lot. And what the problem is, that didn't happen. And so I just remember getting a Bible. There was I was like, there has to be Bibles in the hotel rooms because there's these Gideon Bibles everywhere you go.
Right.
And I opened the drawer and there was a blue Gideon Bible, and I'm in Panama City at this point, and it says Holy Bible. It's in English. So that was a blessing as well, right? So I open it up, I read it, nothing happens. So I'm like, this stuff's not real. The next morning, I steal the Bible from the hotel. I get on a plane. I read it for 6 hours straight on the plane. The whole skateboard team, our photographers and filmers, everyone's looking at me going, thinking the cocaine pirate's reading the Bible. And I'm just like, if God's real, he's in this book. And I was desperate to find him. And what I've discovered is that Jesus Christ became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Bible is Jesus. It's his words. It's God's voice that speaks to us. So I started reading it. And what happened is I remember landing and I felt peace for the first time in my life. That day and that when I landed in Los Angeles after reading the Bible for 6 hours straight. And I went home, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and I heard the song singing through my head the next day, and it was just like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. And it kept repeating over and over, and I was like, what the heck is that? So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, I gave my life to Jesus. And what I didn't tell you guys at this point, I was using every drug on the planet all the way down for years, drinking since I was 17 years old. And my dad said, Ryan, that's God, or that's the Holy Spirit, and God has a plan for your life. Wow. And I thought to myself, what does God have for my life? And, you know, I thought I had the life, but what God did that day is supernaturally in the natural realm. God touched my life. He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and all the drugs and alcohol stopped immediately that day 13 years ago.
My gosh. I mean, it's like I feel like I need a breath.
Right.
So literally from being pornography, alcohol, drugs, that the Lord delivered you instantly?
The pornography was 6 months later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hard thing to shake.
Yes, because we're designed to have sex. Like,
right.
we're that's in our DNA. We're created to produce families. So that's a hard one to deal with. But what happened to me is as I was going to church, reading the Bible every day, learning the word, I was going to church like six times a week and reading my Bible at night, just literally brainwashing myself, cleansing myself with the living water, the Holy Spirit in my life. He was washing me and he was transforming me and cleansing me with the blood that was shed on the cross, washing me white as snow and giving me that, making me a new creation in Christ and making everything, all the old things pass away in my life and making everything new. I would come home and I would act out on pornography and I didn't feel right about it. And I got to that part in the Bible when it says, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you got to turn from your selfish ways, pick up your cross and follow me. And that's when I realized, I'm a skateboarder. And I'm like, I realized like I'm being a poser Christian. See, like I don't want to be a poser. That's the last thing you ever want to be if you're a skater, is being a poser, which is a total wannabe. And I said, I'm being a poser. The Bible teaches against this stuff, but yet I'm going out and I'm acting out on pornography. And I prayed, I said, God, I don't want this anymore. I want you in my life. I want you to get rid of this stuff. And I prayed, and God just gave me the power from heaven, the Holy Spirit, to say no. And like Joseph, he was with Potiphar's wife, and she tried taking his clothes off. He literally took his clothes off. He was naked. And what did he do? He ran. Mm-hmm. He didn't sit around. So what I decided to do is that if I got those urges, I needed to get away from my devices. And I couldn't. And I just stopped. And I decided, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And I stopped bowing down to the devil.
Tell me, just contrast Ryan Reese before God got a hold of you and Ryan Reese now.
Yes. So I would say that God creates us all as individuals in our life, and there's only one of you and there'll only ever be one of you. So he designed you, he knit us together in his mother's wombs for a purpose here on planet Earth. Mm. What happens is you come out and you get influenced by the things of the world, and what happens is Satan likes to get the plan that God has for your life, and he likes to manipulate it and get you into bondage and totally distort the view of women and sex and money and careers and family and everything, and distort you and get you off the path. But that's where I was living. But what happened is, but I was still doing what I loved, but I was empty. God got a hold of my life, cleansed me up, put me back on his path. And now I'm still doing everything that I used to do. I still work in the music industry. I still work in the skate industry. I still do music festivals. I'm doing more actually than I ever have. I do a radio show. I wrote a book and we're putting out movies. I thought if I gave my life to God, my life was going to be boring and I was going to be miserable. God knows the desires of your heart. And when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you live by the power of the Holy Ghost, not the cool ghost, not being a Christian that wants to see how close you can get to the edge and compromise with the world and still make it to heaven. That's the cool ghost. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost, the power from heaven, and the job of the Holy Ghost is to come and purge and destroy everything that is unholy in your life, empower you, and use you for the life that you were created for.
I love that distinction, the cool ghost and the Holy Ghost. I mean, don't you think that's rampant in the church?
Absolutely.
That we just think, you know, well, I mean, I wonder how much I can get away with, because after all, I'm going to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you are now living a radical life. Tell us about the whosoevers.
So, with that said, you know, I started reading the scriptures, and I come from a Bible teaching church where we believe in Genesis, the revelations, it's inerrant, and it is what it is. So when I gave my life to God, I started reading the scriptures of the disciples and Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he came to planet Earth on a rescue mission to die for the sins of the world, and whosoever, from bums to presidents, that would believe in him by faith would be forgiven of their sins. Their name would be written in the book of life. And then he would get these ordinary men, these disciples, and he would teach them how to do ministry, and they would do extraordinary things. So I read, you can go cast out demons, you can go pray for the sick, you could, you tell people about the good news, which is the gospel. They could be forgiven, they could be cleansed, they could have that new life, they could be transformed. So I basically took that literally. I took that literally.
What happened?
I took it literally, and I just started going out and preaching the gospel and getting in front of people and telling my story.
And what happened?
And basically, we just started seeing thousands and thousands and thousands of kids getting saved. And we're in the middle of a worldwide revival. We've seen over 75,000 kids give their life to the Lord just in the last 4 years in the public school system. But there's been many more over the last 13 years.
So I think a lot of people on Oshiel, they want to be there. And they see what he's doing and like, man, I wish I could do that. And I got to tell you, you're supposed to. It's not just you can. He will enable you to be able to do that. You're called to do that in whatever God's area he's put you in. It's not going to look exactly like Ryan, but the results are going to be the same, which is to build his kingdom. Now, there's one thing I want to point out, and it's illustrated in this documentary that you guys just released just here in 2020. And it was at the beginning of the year before the whole pandemic, and you're touring Puebla, Mexico, which is a dangerous area, right?
But very sketchy.
And people can go watch it. You didn't know this because your crew, I got to like them already. They didn't tell you that when you left, they had canceled all your gigs. So all these schools that you thought you were going to had totally canceled. What happened was a beautiful illustration, I think, of the Christian walk and of people who right now may be thinking, boy, I'd like to pursue God that way, but I don't know how, I'm not sure, I'm nervous, I don't know what to do. You ended up ministering day by day, sometimes getting up in the morning, not knowing what was going to happen.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That's the spirit-led life. When you're in tune with the Holy Ghost, he leads and guides you, and Jesus has the keys to every door. Right? So he's going to shut doors and he's going to open doors. But the whole goal is God's going to get done what he needs to get done. All we have to do is be ready in and out of season, and we just got to show up. And then God does what he does. And that's basically what we saw.
I was reading the kind of statistics of teen suicide. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with a lot of teenagers on that because my father committed suicide when I was young. And I think a lot of teenagers, they don't want to die. Mm-hmm. They're in so much pain. Mm. What have you seen God do in the lives of teenagers who are desperate?
Just here on this trip, I actually came up. I felt led to come out here a day early, and this girl. I said I was going to be at this park at this time, and this young girl decided to show up to meet with me for 10 minutes. She said she was dealing with anxiety and depression. Turns out she was having panic attacks, hearing voices, which is demonic. Anxiety. She couldn't get out of bed, and literally, I got to just share the love of God with her and to get real with God, and she got to confess her sins. I prayed. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, and right when we prayed, she actually, after she got done, I said, what happened when we prayed? And I said, do you need prayed for healing or anything? And she starts breathing, and she goes, I've never breathed this good in my life. She's had asthma since she was 5, and she was never able to breathe that good. And I, down even today and 5 years, hours yesterday, God healed her. So not only did he remove the demonic realm, the depression, anxiety, and all that stuff that she's being clouded with, because a lot of that stuff happens, the eye is a light to the body. And what happens is when you look at stuff, you're on your screen time and all this stuff, 9 to 10 hours a day, you're allowing this darkness in. And the Bible says, what you think might be light is actually darkness. And what's going on is this generation of teenagers and millennials and even adults, we're watching this stuff and it's darkness coming in. And what it's doing is it's opening the doorways, the strongholds or the footholds that Paul talks about, and you're allowing the enemy to get these hooks on you. And because of that hook, he's bringing this influence into your life and you're feeling that stuff. But whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. And we are seeing people get set free when they give their life to God, because that's what God does. He's come to set the captives free.
Yeah, amen.
How do you stay this passionate, Ryan? How do you stay this passionate? Because our producers told us you were coming in a day early, and I said, oh, is he coming in to rest? And they said, no, he's coming in to see what God will do through him.
Absolutely.
So I love that.
I take the Great Commission serious, and I just love when being in that place to be used and make myself available. It's all about availability, yeah, if you want to be used, you know? And I just see these things happen all the time when I go out and make myself available, and it's just being... It's not only just reading the Word of God. It's what it says. Don't just be hearers of the Word of God. Be doers. You just got to go do it. If you have all this knowledge, who cares? You got to, like, go live it out. And when you live it out, you're going to see God show up. And it's just, it's the most exciting life that you can live.
Yeah. Now, we've only got a few minutes, and I know there's so many stories we could talk about. And I would encourage people to check out his website and the documentary and things that he's doing. But I want people to hear about the personal struggle you went through and trying to have a family.
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, we went through infertility, and we couldn't get pregnant, and I saw anxiety coming through, you know, over my wife, and we're like, okay, this is not of God. We're not going to live this life. No baby's going to be our idol. You know, Jesus is our Lord. No baby's our Lord. So we decided if we don't get pregnant this month, after 2 years, we're going to stop trying. We end up getting pregnant that month. And we go to the doctors. They discover that we have fraternal twins. So they said, everything looks good. Come back in a couple weeks. This is a high-risk pregnancy. So we go back 2 weeks later, and they're looking at their stomach, and they say, everything looks good. And I make a joke, and I said, oh, my gosh, doctor, what is that? And he says, there's another one in there. And I said, what? He says, one of the eggs split and identical twins a week late. You're having triplets. But there's this thing called vanishing twin where we can't give you a picture of baby C because most likely it's not going to catch up. So we're like, we go home, we pray, God, give us life. We go back 2 weeks later, baby C caught up. So we're going every 2 weeks, we get to 16 weeks, and there's a turn of events, and the doctor says, I'm so sorry, but you're going to lose these babies. These babies are millimeters from coming out, and there's no way we can hold them in. No doctors, no money, no medicine can keep these babies in. We're in Newport Beach. Those are some of the best doctors in the world over there. And they're like, we're sorry, there's no hope. What happens is we pray, we tell my parents, God wakes up my mom in the middle of the night with a vision. She sees a stormy sea with a boat on it, with a baby with brown hair looking out the front of the boat, two identical twins sleeping in the front, and the boat transformed into Jesus' hands. So we knew that those babies were in a storm, but they were in God's hands. And we know that all signs and wonders point back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that the Word of God is true and real. So what happens from there is weeks go by on and on, and the babies are millimeters from hanging out, coming out. My wife's on extreme bed rest. We're in a dark storm. Then they said, baby C's not eating. We got to get them out, but their lungs aren't developed, and we're going to have to do surgery, and it's going to be really bad. So the storm gets darker, 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 and God keeps those babies in to 8 months, and we have healthy triplet daughters, Evelyn, Lillian, and Sadie Lynn, one brunette and two blondes.
Oh, my God.
I have a couple more seconds.
Yes, take it.
So what was really interesting is when I wasn't walking with God, I got married when I was 21. I got my girl pregnant. She aborted the kid without telling me. I got her pregnant again 6 months later. We went to the doctors together. We had identical twins. One died out from vanishing twin. We decided to have the other one. A couple weeks later, she called me and says she doesn't want to have the kid. She aborted the kid. I divorced her. That spun me out of control. And then moving forward, I give my life to Jesus. God brings the girl of my dreams and gives me back the two identical twins and the fraternal all in one pregnancy.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. God is good all the time. And we're going to tell you later how you can get in touch with Ryan. But what I want you to look at now is there's some girls right now who are being held captive and believe that nobody hears their prayers and nobody's coming for them. And that's not true. And I'm going to tell you how we can help right after you watch this.
My story really starts from the age of 7. I was left alone at home a lot. And a lot of predators really came through the house. Specifically, a very distant uncle. He would be there to take care of me. But then he started to do things, and they were things that I really didn't understand at all. My childhood was really cut short, and by really being abused and molested by this man, it really tormented me.
A traumatic experience can profoundly shape one's worldview. For Life's missionary partner, Giselle Meza, childhood trauma has left her heartbroken for victims of sexual abuse and human trafficking in South Asia. Giselle recently connected over the internet with our mission team to share the story of a child we'll call Devna.
We had gone into this village and we had found this little girl, Devna, on the side of the road in conditions that you could never imagine. And she had been taken by her trafficker. And then along the way, he decided to rape her multiple times and leave her to die alongside of the road. Devna's story is one where we rescued her from one of the worst situations. And now that she's in our home and has had 4 years with us now, she has blossomed into the most beautiful, precious little girl that now has developed her personality. She's safe. She loves to dance. She loves to sing. She loves to play.
Rescue efforts like these are the direct result of compassionate support by Life Today viewers. Shortly after we spoke with Giselle, her team rescued another child from traffickers who was just 4 years old. Human trafficking does not stop for global crises. And with your help, neither will our fight against it.
Can you imagine such a thing? A 4-year-old little girl who should be at home playing with her sisters or brothers and her mom and dad and maybe playing with her puppy, but she's left at the side of the road to die. There's so many of our missions that we're involved with, whether it's Mission Feeding or Water for Life, those are problems that happen that we immediately want to move in and do something to fix. But let me tell you, our Rescue Life, this is demonic. This is literally the powers of hell going in and trying to take these young girls and let them know they have no value. They're not even a name. They're just a number. They are very well organized. It's a billion-dollar industry. I've walked those streets in Southeast Asia, and it's devastating. But here's the deal. We are the body of Christ on the planet at this moment, and we have a commission. We are on mission 24/7. And so we are going in there in your name to reach kids in the villages before anyone ever gets to them, to prepare them for what could happen. Then when we're a little late on that side, we go in and knock down doors at midnight and rescue these girls and then take them to a place where they can be restored. And let me tell you, some of these young people that are restored, that give their lives to Jesus, become the most radical disciples I have ever met. They understand the difference between darkness and light, and they become beacons and fierce warriors for Jesus. But we can only do it if you will help us. Yep. And it's very doable, Brandy.
It is. And Sheila, you know, the darkness and the light is absolutely what's going on here. It is a very dark thing. And it's not just overseas. It's here in our own country. It's where you're at. But we are that light. Jesus is the light. And then he turns around and says, you are that light. We reflect his light, but only when we let that light shine. Now, how do we do that? Through our Rescue Life program, we reach into these areas all over the world. We rescue people out, sometimes literally taking them out, other times just making a way and working with governments, working with local officials, whatever we have to do. And then we restore, because it's not just about getting them out of a bad situation. It's putting them on that path that God has for their life, giving them practical skills, giving them whatever they need to become whole again, always with the gospel as that bedrock foundation. So we reach, we rescue, we restore. And here's the breakdown when you look at it from a cost standpoint, because it does cost money to do these things, to put this program in place. Normally, it averages about $128 to reach, rescue, restore one child. Right now, we have a matching gift. What does that mean? That means some large donors have come together and said, we will match whatever you raise on television through this campaign. That means your gift of $64 today will enable us to reach, rescue, and restore one child, $64. That's why we ask you, happily, boldly, to go to the phone, go online, make the best gift you can. If you can make that gift of $1,280 because God's blessed you that much, that would rescue 20 children. Do whatever God's put on your heart. I'm just asking you to be that light in this dark world. Let's shine and let's rescue some lives.
Behind the bright lights, there is a darkness where a world of innocence is lost and abuse runs rampant, scarring the souls of children with no one and nowhere to turn for help. With bodies broken and hopes crushed, these young victims are trapped in a never-ending nightmare. Today, you can shine the light of God's love in this dark world to reach, rescue, and restore these young ones to the life God designed for them to live. With a generous $250,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated and essential book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation, a valuable reference with biblical insight to help you live your best life. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive this beautiful prayer box. Inscribed with the words from Philippians 4:6, this wonderful keepsake includes pencil and paper to write down prayer requests you want to give to God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request a Mother Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thanks so much. Keep calling, keep calling. And Ryan, what a story, what a testimony. How can people reach you?
Just go to thewhosoevers.com, and we're touring schools, so we'd love to come to a school wherever you're at in the world and bring the gospel.
Fantastic.
I love it. I love what he's doing. And check out all the other things he's got on the website. There's so much going on. And thank you for joining us. Join us again next time for Life Today.
Download the new Stream app today for breaking news and commentary. Be equipped to think clearly about the critical issues of our day. Available for Apple and Android phones.
And I was told by a medical professional, and then another one, that you have terminal cancer and you're going to die if you don't do it this way.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.